This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's March 12th, episode 868, brought to you by Road to the Horse. Good morning, Horse World.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cussing this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I write a song. Everybody hears and they sing along. Hey, hey.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday morning, and we really appreciate you being here. Another storm coming across the country. I am flying into Kentucky this afternoon for Road to the Horse, and it's supposed to, I had to find my winter coat to pack my winter coat because I'm supposed to get there, and it's supposed to be raining ice balls, apparently. So,
oh my gosh. So, Jennifer, is Jennifer holding down the fort while you're gone?
Yeah, she apparently chose not to go to Ice Ball Central and
genius.
Stay in Florida where it's 75 degrees and sunny.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Good for you, Jen. I know Road to the Horse is awesome, but Glenn, you guys are not trained to have any sort of cold weather. You've given up the thick blood. Your blood is like thin as water. You're going to freeze to death.
You know, I'm not getting much empathy from the listeners at this point, right? Who are expecting inches of snow and another nor'easter.
No, people hate you. They hate me. It's all good. At least they feel sorry for me because I have a really awful summer. You just live in, you know, heaven.
Except for the bugs and the humidity. It's
Oh, blah, blah, blah. Nobody feels sorry for you. It's not gonna work, Glenn.
I know. I am looking forward. This is the first time back to Lexington since we moved. So it's gonna be fun to get back there. We did enjoy the time we lived in Lexington, except for the snow and ice.
Which reminds me, I got to buy my tickets to come to Lexington for Rolex.
I thought you did that already. You better do that.
I didn't do it yet because my husband was back and forth with he was going to go, and he's going.
Oh, is he going? Oh, good.
Yay.
Oh, that's fun. I'll get to see him. We can hang out and leave you behind.
Yeah,
that's great. With the baby.
Great.
We'll leave you with the baby and
I'll
we'll go play golf.
I'll give you the baby and we'll go look at some horses.
Oh, have you gone to new vocations lately, Jamie?
I need to go and check. Do they have new ones up there?
They have some new ones in Kentucky. Yeah. Yeah.
Dreamy, dreamy. All right. Anyway, Jennifer, what's on today's show?
On today's show, we're going to hear from Shauna Koresh, who's been jet setting herself all around the world, teaching folks about operant conditioning with her on-target training program. And she is going to offer Glenn some advice.
I need advice on my pony.
On how to keep from getting mugged by his pony PT scooter. And then after that, of course, we're going to have the Equity MFG Wheel of Celebrity Trivia with Frankie Lovato. We're going to see who wins there. And of course, we're going to have a crappy list.
There you go. Thank you, Jennifer. Well, it's time for our Daily Whinnies. Well, my Daily Whinny today goes out to Reese Coffler Stanfield and Tammy Sarantz, hosts of the Dressage and Western radio shows, because I get to hang out with them this weekend. You know, it's very seldom that I actually get to see the co-hosts that I do shows with, but this weekend I get to hang out with both Reese and Tammy because they'll both be at Road to the Horse. Reese lives about 4 miles from there, so we're going to get to go to dinner one night, and she's going to come over and check it out. She's never even heard of Road to the Horse, so she's going to come over and hang out for a couple hours one day. And then Tammy's helping run the event, actually. She's in the marketing team for Road to the Horse. So I get to see her as well. I'm very excited. And then a month later, I get to see you, Jamie. at Rolex.
Pretty, you're pretty lucky is all I'm going to say.
I know, three beautiful women in a month. And then and actually four because I see my wife every day. So that's four.
Too late, Wait, Glenn. It came out of your mouth. Oh, nice try.
That is providing I'm not on some strange federal murder case on my jury duty in April and don't have to stay behind. Let's hope not. But so I'm very excited. They get my daily Winnie. Now it's your turn.
And my daily Winnie, and I'm sorry I didn't have this for you, but the Blood Horse didn't release it till after our Monday show was over. And it is Mucho Macho Man got Florida's Horse of the Year award. So woo-hoo, by woo-hoo. God, he's Horse of the Year somewhere.
Where?
And that is in Florida where he was bred. They had a thoroughbred, the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association Award Dinner.
And we could have gone to that, Glenn!
How dare you?
It was right down the street, actually. It was in Ocala, wasn't it?
Oh,
it was right
man.
Down the street.
It was in Ocala.
It was like 4 miles from the house. I didn't know about it.
I don't even know. Let's see. I don't even know if they were there because they were just in Santa Anita. I guess, it only takes a couple hours to fly across country. But he swept to a pair of grade one victories. He earned $2.9 million.
In Florida.
It's insane. That's insane. So he got the award for Horse of the Year. By God, he may not have won the Eclipse Award, but round of applause. Woo! Mucho Macho Man.
But
yay!
Our state came up and stood by his side.
Yeah, except for you didn't because you didn't go to the award dinner. Cheer him on.
If only I had known.
they didn't invite you, did they?
No, they didn't. I didn't not get an invitation. I don't know why we're his biggest fans.
I know. You just didn't get an invitation from the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association Award Committee.
I'm going to have a talk with them.
Yeah. We're going to unfriend them on Facebook.
Yeah, on Facebook.
That's it.
Yeah.
Unfriend. Ah!
To be honest, everybody, I didn't know there was one.
Oh, there's always one. I was a member of the one in Kentucky, the Kentucky Thoroughbred, Kentucky Toba is what it was called, because I sold a horse at Fazek Tipton. Because I got this mare off the track, and I trained her to be a show jumper, and she ended up with all these bone chips in her ankles, and so I sold her as a broodmare at Fazek Tipton, and that qualified me to be a member of the Kentucky Toba.
Ooh, was it cool seeing her up there in the little ring and then they were building up to, they were bidding and it went over six figures and then it went over seven figures. Was that really cool?
Yeah, she sold for like $1,200. Oh. I was lucky to get my money back.
I didn't even know they sold horses for $1,200 at Fazek Tipton.
It was the Fazek Tipton mixed one, and I actually wasn't there because I couldn't be there because I was very attached to her. Shocker. I didn't want to sell her, but I couldn't afford to do ankle chip surgery on her. So she ended up being a broodmare, and I've kind of keep track of her still.
And by the way, what a cool place that auction is. Ugh, go back that driveway and stuff. Anybody that hasn't been there when they're in Lexington should stop by.
Yeah, it's really cool.
That is neat. Well, one of the other things I wanted to do, a little housekeeping here today, is thank all of the new official HRN auditors who have pledged since we talked about it last week. Thank you very much, everybody. We really appreciate you doing that. We have some new things that we're going to be announcing for auditors here very shortly. We need to notify the auditors that have already signed up first, which we're going to do this week. So we wanted to thank everybody. If you would like to become an HRN auditor for as little as $1 a month, you can go on over to the horseradionetwork.com website or horsesinthemorning.com website. The big banner in the middle of the page. Just click on that and you can see how it works. It's very simple and easy to do, and you can become an official member or auditor of the Horse Radio Network. And I'm really want to also thank everybody. We've had quite a few people do $1 a month, but we had quite a few people do up to $25 a month. So we appreciate your support and the value that you put in our shows. It does not go unnoticed. Well, Jamie, you know, it is Wednesday, and Wednesdays I usually have a crappy list, and I've got a crappy list for today.
Well, I wish I was paying better attention, but Jennifer got me hooked on going to a new vocations website, horseadoption.com, and all I've been doing is looking at horses since then. And you're right. They have a bunch of new ones from Kentucky.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, they have a little dinner and stuff where they show them all off, right? Or did you get into there yet?
The Thoroughbreds for All. I'm going to have to go.
You're going to have to get into that. Just drop a note and tell them you're the infamous Jamie Jennings. I'm sure you'll get an invite.
Yeah, I'm sure. Just like you did to the Florida Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders Association.
Yes, we're so influential that way. Anyway, okay. I grew up in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. I grew up in a little town, Lancaster County. I did not grow up on a farm. Jennifer did grow up on a farm. And I know you didn't grow up on a farm, but you were at a farm a lot.
I actually did. I grew up on 15 acres in Atlanta, Georgia.
In Atlanta, you were on 15 acres?
Shocker. My parents, who, if they still owned it to this day,
it'd be worth a bazillion dollars.
I'm still mad. When they got divorced, they sold it. And it's like, what? What are you doing? So they sold my 15 acres in Atlanta, which would be worth $1 billion right now.
Yes. You don't hold grudges, do you, Jamie?
My stomach hurts.
Well, I have this list, this crappy list, 30 signs you grew up on a farm or a ranch. And, you know, even if you're just a horse person that lived in the city and went out to the barn, you're gonna love some of these and you're going to appreciate them. So let's go through some of these. We can chat about them. You know, it's impossible to tip a cow. I grew up in Lancaster County where there are a bazillion cows. I never even knew what tipping a cow was. I don't think we even talked about tipping cows. That must have been a city thing by people talking about tipping cows, because us that lived with cows, we never talked about, first of all, why would you want to? And why would you want to go through the effort? You know, I guess was the whole thing.
Why would you tip a cow? It seems mean to me.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, you can drive any vehicle with a clutch. Jennifer, when did you learn to drive a clutch tractor? When you were about 5, right?
I think I was 7 and a half, and I ran into the gatepost.
There you go. Yep. Can I tell you guys what I did last week?
Oh, no.
This is embarrassing. So we have our Jeep, and they recently had the trees trimmed here, and they cut one of the trees down that was in our driveway. And it's now a stump that's about 3-4 feet high. But you can't see the stump when you're backing the Jeep up. So, yes, at about 15 miles an hour, I backed into the stump with the Jeep the other day.
Made
a horrendous crash. Fortunately, it's a Jeep, and all I really did was scrape the plastic bumper. But I put a dent in the stump. I did put a hole in the stump, but unfortunately I didn't put a hole. But let me tell you, it still scares the crap out of you when you hit something, you know, doing 10, 15 miles an hour while backing up. And then you look back and you can't see what you hit, and you immediately think it was a dog, it was a cat, it was a horse. You know, you don't know what you hit. And I forgot that the stump was there because you can't see it below the sight line. So that scared the crap out of me.
Now, what does that have to do with driving a tractor?
I have no idea. Jennifer said she hit something. So that's
he had to get that off of his chest. He felt
I
so
did.
Guilty.
It was killing me. I was so embarrassed. When did you learn to drive a clutch, Jamie?
You know, my dad actually taught me, I think I was 15 and I had my learner's permit, and I learned how to drive stick because my uncle had a farm, and so they didn't want me to ruin a good, perfectly good vehicle. So he brought me what they called the strawberry truck. And it was a truck with like wooden paneling on the sides from like 1928. Yeah, like ridiculously
awful. Was the
clutch
a little stiff, Jamie?
Oh, God. It got to the point where actually right outside of our house was a hill. And the clutch was so sticky that it would pop forward and then I would, you know, obviously die. And since I was on a hill, I started crying and I put it in the park and I made my dad get out and come around and drive to the other side because I was stuck on the hill. So didn't go well.
Let's not forget to mention also that Jamie's 5'2", so she could barely reach the clutch in an old truck.
And the big steering wheel, like from a trucker, you know, like 3 feet wide. So my arms, it was a disaster.
I miss those old big steering wheels pickup trucks used to have, though. Those were fun. I miss those. Number 3, your front door was always unlocked, even if your entire family was on vacation, and the keys to your car or truck were always in the ignition. We lived in a little town at that point and never locked our doors. We didn't lock our doors. We didn't lock the car. You never locked the car.
Yeah, I learned the hard way after getting robbed like 8 times to start locking my truck. But after that, you know, You're right.
How about
when I was little?
How about you are devoted to either red or green tractors and have every bit as much as you are devoted to a pro football team? That is true. You had a tractor preference. You were John Deere. You weren't John Deere. You know what? Where we grew up, you were either John Deere or not John Deere. Anything but John Deere.
Which red? Like a Kubota or something?
Yeah, well, we had a green tractor. It was an Oliver, though. It was an old Oliver. It was a big tractor. Oliver 770. But it was a big tractor, but it was not a John Deere. So where we grew up, it was either you were John Deere or you weren't John Deere. It was like you are Ford or you're not Ford. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our tractor was a riding lawnmower, so I can't really say anything.
When you gave directions, you used street names, or you didn't use street names, you used landmarks. And that is true. When you lived in the country in that day, you didn't know the street. I still don't know the street names to get out to our farm.
What you gonna do here, Glenn, is you're gonna head on down the road just a spell. Then when you get to the third chicken house on the left, you're gonna make a turn to the right. And then you're gonna head on down when you get to the third mailbox that looks like a tractor. You're gonna make a left and dog leg around to the right. And then you get to the third dirt road. When you hit the third dirt road, that's when you're gonna stop. You're gonna have to get out. You're gonna have to look off to the left as the crow flies. You're about half a mile away.
That's where you can go. Right. That's about right. And that has sounded exactly like the guy at the little country store you stopped to ask in Georgia. Exactly.
That is straight up directions I've gotten several times in Georgia.
Now this is a farmer thing, and we grew up around. When we had our big farm in Pennsylvania, we were around a lot of serious farmers who actually farmed the land, and they were never happy. And this is what number six is. If someone asks you about the weather, you tell them it's either too wet or too dry or too hot or too cold. They are never ever happy with the weather, are they? True farmers are never happy with the weather. There's always something wrong with it.
That's true. I don't know why that is.
There were never an ideal year. I can't ever remember hearing a real farmer say, oh, this was the perfect growing year. Everything just worked out.
You know what? You're right, because my hay guy just brought over hay. And I said, so how's it going? He was like, damn rain. I'm like, you live in Phoenix. Like, it rains twice a year. And you know weeks ahead of time. Damn rain.
I told you it's that way. It's always... Oh, and we can relate to this one. I'll just change it a little bit. You fear hearing the words cows are out. We can change that to the horses are out.
Oh, God.
I can't tell you how many times at 2 a.m. we had a knock on the door that the horses were out on the road.
Yeah. Ugh,
and we'd have to go out and they crashed the electric fence and you're out chasing them. And you ended up in our day, you ended up buying, I don't know if you guys had one of these, one of those 1 million candlelight things that plugged into your car cigarette lighter. So you could shine it and see the horses, you know, the horses from
see
half a mile away. Exactly. Just like the deer. Just like when you go deer spotting. Exactly. Yeah. We horse spotted. And the first farm we were at when they got out, it was 100 acres. Well, you couldn't find them. I mean, they were, you know, out in a back pasture someplace. So we'd drive.
That's when you just go, they'll come in for breakfast. That'd be all right.
We had a habit of our neighbors when we lived at that first farm, taking the animals that got loose and putting them in their field and then transporting them to a different farm and forgetting to tell us. So we usually tried to find loosed cows or horses right away.
Because
they disappeared. And then you'd find them in their pasture and they'd go, oh, we didn't know whose they were. Yeah, mm-hmm. We're going to try and find out either, were you? How about travel is measured in time, not distance? I think that's a Midwest thing, too. You know, it's an hour that way. You don't know the distance. It's an hour that way.
I thought everybody did that. How long does it take to, how far is it? About 15 minutes.
Well, that's true. Yeah, we don't know distances, do we? You're right. No. We still do that. Yeah, you're right about that. When you live in the country, this is true to today. Cell phone service, cable television, high-speed internet were all once considered luxuries. They're still a luxury to people who live in farms. If you can't, you're ending up with satellite, you pretty much don't have internet unless you can get some kind of DSL service, and you're lucky at all if you have cell phone service in some parts of this country when you're rural. So that still applies.
Yeah, that's very still true.
We have very little cell phone service right here at the house where we are. I have to stand by the front door. I was talking to Jamie today on the cell. I was actually in our kitchen when I lost you. I had to go to the front door to call you back.
That's funny.
It's about 20 steps, but there's that much of a difference in our cell phone service.
Yeah.
Now, you'll appreciate this living in the South. Lunch was dinner and dinner was supper. Did you guys used to have that? in the South?
You go to grandma's house for supper.
And that was actually late in the afternoon, right?
Yeah, I can't remember. I was so young, but I just remember that you didn't have dinner. You had supper at dinner time.
Right. That's correct. There was never lunch. And, you know, when growing up in Lancaster County, the Mennonites and the Amish would have great. And I used to work with them in business sometimes. And they, when you were invited over for lunch, you know how we eat a sandwich? They eat a full meal. They have their meat, their potatoes, their vegetables. They have a full meal that she has been cooking all morning with the biscuits and the whole works for lunch. And then you have the full meal again for supper.
Yeah, I'm not that kind of wife. Sorry.
What's wrong with you, Jamie?
That ain't gonna happen.
You're lucky the Lieutenant Colonel stays with you. You know that?
I know.
How about this one? Regardless of what city you are currently in, your first instinct upon hearing the toot of a horn is that someone is trying to say hi to you. That, yeah, a horn when you lived in the country was not a bad thing. It was somebody that was waving.
It still happens. I'll be out. My arena is right by the road. People honk as they go by and wave. And I don't even look up anymore. I just wave my arm. Hey, because I never knew who they are.
When we were, you know, growing up in Lancaster County, you never got in traffic jams. One of the only traffic jam there was when there were two or three Mennonite buggies or Amish buggies ahead of you. And you couldn't pass because you couldn't see past the third one. That was a traffic jam. That's when you got stuck. You were there for 5-10 minutes till you could see past them. And, you know, when you took driver's ed in Lancaster County, one of the things that you had to pass was how to pass buggies and when to pass buggies and when not to. And if you're coming up over a hill, you didn't go because there might be a car coming. You had to learn all that growing up in Lancaster County. That's one of the things we learned in driver's ed.
How to pass a buggy. There you go.
Oh, this is true. You know, if there was ever a fire, everyone showed up to watch if a house, barn, or business caught on fire. When you grew up in rural areas, you heard the fire trucks. We used to chase the fire trucks. We used to follow them to see what was on fire.
Glenn, you are so country. I didn't realize.
Yes, we used to chase the fire trucks. I still have old footage of the mill burning down in our town because everybody in town was there watching. It, you know, used to follow the fire trucks to see what was on fire.
You are so country. I didn't know, my friend.
Yes. Yes. And the country fair was considered the social event of the year. The New Holland Farm Show was it. They closed the Main Street off for a week. And they set up the whole farm show and fair was on Main Street, and it was for an entire week. And we used to get off school early. They used to let you off school at noontime on Wednesday, which was parade day, and used to be able to go to the fair. It was legal just to walk from school to the fair. You used to be able to spend the afternoon at the fair and then watch the parade that happened that night. That's how country.
Man, I'm learning so much about you. I had no idea.
Yep, that's how much country. And let's see here. You drank more water from a hose and spigot than you ever did from a plastic bottle.
Well, I still do that. I'm out back with the horses. I'm not going in the house. And I hate bottled waters because there's just too many freaking bottles and too much trash. And so I just drink out of the hose.
We didn't have bottled water back then.
I just realized it today.
The science fiction people would go, someday there's going to be bottled water and you're going to have to pay for it.
Yeah.
We don't know who'd pay for water.
You get it out of the spigot.
Yeah.
Who's going to pay for water?
Well, we were wrong, weren't we?
Should have invested in that.
Yeah.
When I did.
Yeah. Idiots.
Well, I'm sure a lot of you have stories too from growing up if you lived in the country. We're going to take a break for Equestrian Collections Product of the Week, and then we're coming back with Shauna Koresh is going to be with us. And I have a question for her about my pony, because we're trying to do his training appropriately, but he's giving us a little bit of trouble on one thing, and I think Shauna can help. Be right back after this. Hi, Glenn here, and I am with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with our weekly Product of the Week.
Top of the morning to you, Glenn. This is St. Patrick's Day week, and so this week we are featuring the Ariat Cambria quarter zip shirt, this one in absolute green.
And it is green. It is green.
It is shamrock green, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to feature it. You know, I get so tired of seeing all the regular colors that come through here, but this one when they walked in with this shirt, everybody in the room went, oh, cool. It is as Irish green as you could possibly want. And it also has the Ariat Comfort, as always. It's the quarter zip. It has the stock tie loop in the back. It's a stretch jersey material. It's very, very comfortable. It's very, very cool. And it is very, very green.
It is, and it has the breathable mesh and the full back and the side paneling, the whole thing, like Ariat shirts have. And I would say it's very cool. I like it.
Yeah, it's just unique. And we all have Ariat shirts that we all wear and love, but we don't have one in this color.
Not one in this color. It's the Ariat Cambria quarter zip shirt. You can find it at equestriancollections.com.
And they are in stock, so we can ship them out right away.
Just in time for March the 17th.
That's right. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Hi, Shauna, and welcome back to the show.
Why, thank you. It is great to be back.
Well, it's good to have you back. You know, before we get into your world travels and doing clinics all over the place, and I have some questions about that, I have you on for a selfish reason. And that is to help me with my little rescue pony. So when we got him about 8 months ago, he was, you know, a starving thing. We thought he was going to die, actually, within a couple days of getting him. He was that starving. He was probably he's probably a one on the scale. And now we brought him back, and he's no longer a one. He's probably an eight on the scale. He's getting fat. So he's fat and happy now. He's obnoxious.
He is fatter in his imagination than he is in for real life, though. He's not really fat.
He's getting fatter. And, you know, he's getting obnoxious like a little hackney pony. So we've been training him, and, you know, we've been ground driving him. Now we have a cart, so we put him in the cart and everything. But the one thing with this pony is he's very, and I don't know if this comes from being starved or he would just came this way, but he's very treat motivated. So when you try and train him using treats, he just gets totally obsessed to the point where he'll chew on your literally grab your pockets and try and chew through the cloth to get the treats. And he just forgets everything else. So it's gotten to the point now when we're training him, I don't use treats at all during the training process. And we only treat him when we're all done because he gets to the point of total distraction, you know, and are we doing something wrong? You know, what's your thoughts on that?
Okay, and I think part of it is probably motivated from that I'm going to die and it's survival and I need to have the food because I don't know when I might not have it. So I think that's probably driving a bit of that overstimulation with food. You know, so he sees food and it is like, oh my gosh, that's the best thing ever. So that's, you know, that's understandable. We get that. So there's a couple of things that we can do that may help. One, use a treat that's not quite as exciting. So use some, you know, bland, you know, pellets or something. That could be one thing. So it kind of takes it down
a
little bit.
We haven't found anything that's not exciting to this little thing.
Okay. I get
maybe
that.
We need to use stale saltines. I'm going with stale saltines, Shauna.
Our shavings.
Shavings. Yeah, there we go.
That'll work. He doesn't seem to eat those.
And another thing that you can do that can help too is feed him his meal right before a session so that he is somewhat satiated and not feeling so hungry, because that may help tone it down a little bit.
You know what? And I hate to keep putting holes in it. That's a good idea. But we do that because what we learned is if it was within an hour of his like grain meal time, he was just distracted the whole time. We couldn't work with him. So we did now do it after lunch. Because otherwise he is totally destroyed. It's just a waste of time.
I'm a maniac about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that another thing, and I think you're doing a good thing by feeding at the end there too, but it'd be nice to be able to pinpoint those moments where you go, that was a good decision, you know, so it makes it a challenge. The other thing I would do is because he's now taking himself, there's, you know, and this gets all technical too, but there's a lot we're learning about their seeking circuitry, which is in their mind. And it's it's neurologically when they're seeking something that they need or value there. And that's overstimulated for him. because of his, probably partly because of his history, partly because he's a pony.
Yeah,
I like that.
Right.
But the so I think he's getting overstimulated and overexcited because of that drive. So what I would do is I would step outside of his own, like outside of his paddock, outside of his stall, wherever he lives and is comfortable, or he is for the day or whatever you're doing, and be on the outside. And he's going to probably go, oh my gosh, you had the treats. I'm a crazy pony. And at some point he's going to go, I guess they're not coming. And they'll kind of disengage and relax and turn away. I would click and reinforce those relaxation times. So I would step in very fast and give him, reach over the fence and give him a big handful. Big handfuls will also probably help more than small handfuls because it is more satiation. So they feel like I got something.
Now, see, I was thinking, I was completely wrong on that one, Sean. I was thinking the other way around. Okay, take a note of that.
And a lot of times, yeah, because that can a lot of times make them feel like, well, that wasn't enough. And so give them a big handful when you do. So maybe do it less often. But then, and then just give them a big, good handful. But then standing outside of there, and then he's going to, once you feed him that handful, he's going to go, oh, yay, okay, we're doing this again. And he's going to be revved up for a while. When he kind of settles and relaxes and gives up or even looks away a little bit, I would click and reinforce again. So I'd kind of practice this a little bit. So he starts realizing, because the emotions that he has as part of the training are high. You know, they're excited, you know, tense kind of emotions because it's related to something that was part of his maybe, you know, starving to death in his mind. You know, he needed this. So I think that the emotions he carried with that were very high and agitated emotions, not in a bad way, but just overexcited.
Okay.
So as they're over aroused. So as we start to bring it back down to, we want to say, what's going to get you reinforced is when you mentally are calm. So when he kind of gives up and thinks, well, I guess that's it. And even if he goes back to grazing his grass or, you know, poking at his hay, click and reinforce that. So you're going to kind of be doing the opposite. It's a little bit of extra disengagement, but so you're teaching him to mentally get more relaxed. So that's another thing. When I first teach horses, I try to, and I realized that people weren't doing this as much, look for relaxation. Because even if I want a pee off, it's going to be better if it's a relaxed pee off than a tense one. So I always want relaxation to be part of it. So I think because of his past, it was too overexcited for him. So I think if you take it back down there and only focus on that relaxation and when he settles. On the other hand, too, what I might do is when you're doing things with him, if he gets grabby, I might say, okay, well, I'm going to step out for a moment and let you process that. So you're saying, if you're going to be grabby, I'm going to need to step away for a minute until you learn to focus. But we need to set him up for success. And I think by doing it where you're just outside of his realm, and it will help him to disengage a little bit and get a little calmer. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. Okay, I'm going to jump in here because I have a related question, because that's really helpful.
Okay.
And I'm glad you said that, because some of those things are like, oh, I was doing it exactly wrong. So when when Glenn is working with PT and we have to step away and wait a little while for PT to settle and get a little bit less excited about the possibility of having a treat, at what point do I click and reward Glenn when he starts to fidget, having to stand still and be quiet for a minute and a half? How do
See,
I help Glenn?
The problem is we have an ADD driver and an ADD pony. That's the problem.
You're like, let's go.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know Randy Cadwell?
Yes.
It's be the friend. Yeah, and she is just kind of like that too. And her, you know, Kabam would be like that, and I would help the two of them, and you'd be like, "Oh my gosh, you guys!"
That she is that way. Her and I are a lot alike that way.
He totally is.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's got her pony is kind of that way too. I mean, he's kind of
yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
He
cool
wants
pony.
To get out there, and he wants to do it, and he's kind of serious. You know, like I just want to get this done. Yeah, it is totally funny. But that's my picture, you two.
Yeah, that's pretty. And you know what? This little guy, when you put the harness on him and he gets his blinkers on, he does go to work. He is, you know, he does focus on work. As long as you're not right there with your pockets handy full of treats, because then you're in trouble. And I, you know, he's not the only one. The reason I brought this up, it's not totally self-serving, is I know others have this problem too.
Right. And you know what? And you might even go back to the basic clicker lessons, too, of just standing with his, turning his head away, standing, turn his head
now,
away.
Now, Jennifer, you said you got him to do that the other day, where he finally turned his head away a little bit, and then you rewarded him.
Yes, and that's been a struggle for him, because he he's much better at this than I am. I've never been good at this. I've always struggled with it. That and I did go to hay cubes instead of a proper horse cookie. I'll take a couple of hay cubes and break them up because they don't smell as much. Because if he smells horse cookie molecules on you, forget it. You're out of luck. And I stood him in the aisleway and I had to put his clothes on. So I just stood there in the aisleway and pretended I was bored. And he knew I had a hay cube in my pocket. And he finally, I could see his little light bulb come on above his head that if he stood there and did not mug me, he might get a hay cube. Because what he would do is he'd just keep mugging and mugging and mugging and mugging. And it's like, okay, then he'd completely lose interest. And then you'd offer him the cookie. And then he'd start the whole process all over again.
Yeah.
And he finally had a light bulb moment the other day. I was so excited.
And that's, I think he just needs, I think that would be a good step to go back to that very basic first step and really make it strong, and make it strong not only in the first place, you know, like we always want to start where they're most comfortable. So maybe it's the stallers, paddock, or the barn aisle, wherever he is. Not only there, once he gets it solid there, say, okay, now we're going to shift the place slightly. Because when we shift context, we can lose a little behavior. So I think if you go back and say, okay, it's the same game here, and it's the same game here, and it's the same game here, he'll start to realize the mugging gets me nothing. Because think, this is, you know, one of those real basic things. If any behavior maintains or increases in frequency, it is serving them in one way, shape, or form. So in his mind, this is what works. And he's only doing it because he thinks it's going to work. So even though it may happen later, so we need, he puts it in his head, I persisted and they finally, I got it. Mm-hmm. So I think if you say, that's not going to work anymore, but this turning your head away, this is the new being in my pocket kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So you're replacing it, and it has a technical name and it's in textbooks and stuff, but basically what you're doing, you're replacing that behavior because they're going to choose the behavior with the strongest reinforcement history. And so for him, that has a strong reinforcement history. We want to say, no, this turning your head away, we want this to have a stronger reinforcement history. So you make a choice to do this as opposed to that. Now, it may take a little longer with him because of his history and his, you know, his dire need for food, but that's the basic, is just replacing one behavior with the other. So it means the new behavior needs to become more reinforced. So it means you need to practice it more. And I picture it like, I always picture the bad behavior like scales. So the scales are out of balance and there's a lot of weight on the side of the scale with the behavior that we would like to see go away and not enough on the side that we want to see this behavior. Each time we put a reinforcement, each time we get a chance to reinforce it, we start to weigh those scales. There's going to be a point where it's in between and then a point where this is where he goes to all the time. So you just got to kind of stick through that period and let him get that solid. And you can just do it, you know, once he gets a little bit solid, you can do it at feeding time. You know, you can do it all the time. So give me something. You can practice a little bit in each and every session once he gets it, just to remind him. So okay. I think that'll help too.
Well, thank you for that. Well, now I know you, to change gears a little bit, you've been traveling around the world doing doing training sessions and talking about positive reinforcement and clicker training. I got a question for you. What do you see? What are the difference in cultures? You know, what do you see culturally when you travel around as far as teaching what you do? Are there some cultures that find this a totally foreign concept? Are there some cultures that are easier, embrace it easier? What are you finding?
And, you know, I find, okay, so I do a lot of stuff in the UK, and in the UK, it is a horse culture. You know, they have, when you go to a Grand Prix there, no matter what discipline, there's lots of people watching. As opposed to, we go here and you're like, it's just like, you're having
three of us, and we're all related. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and we're all showing and we're all related, right. It's just not the same. When they are, you know, horses are such a part of their culture still. You know, so that makes it very different because they're much more involved in it and much more into it, you know. So that makes it very different than being here, because here it is a sideline, and they sometimes think, oh gosh, you guys must have lots of people. And they're like, no, we're not so all into it, you know. Per capita, I guess there's a lot more horse people than there would be here. So that is one difference, and that is a big one. I did a thing in Mexico City a number of years ago, Now, that was very different, too. And it was, I had no idea what I was actually going to do. I just knew I was going to teach what I teach. And so I got off the plane, and I was like, okay, so somebody's going to come pick me up, you know, and you don't even know. And what we were dealing with was jumper people that had very expensive horses. So they took you behind gated communities and all that. But it was culturally, it was really different. One, they have that kind of, the, you know, a little more machismo behind it. So that there's a little less touchy-feely. And so that's a little more resistant. But because I'd worked with professional and Olympic jumpers, they kind of were listening, you know, because they would, you know, wanted to learn about how to fix these things and do these things. But one of the things that was super interesting to me is the kids. So you ask all the kids what they want to do. So I was working with them for a week. Every afternoon I'd work with kids. In the morning it was adults. So I asked all the kids, I said, what do you want to do? What do you want to teach? And a lot of them said free jumping. Okay, well, that's all well and good, but these kids wouldn't even lead their own horses. Their grooms would bring the horse to me in the arena, and I would work it at Liberty. And I thought, now, you want your horse cantering at you? You know, I just couldn't picture this concept. And so I was with Vincent at the time, and I said, Vincent, just stand behind it. You and I will be doing it. You're kind of, you know, the guard there in a way. And then, because no kid would handle their own horse. They just didn't. And it's cultural. So I think that there's something along the lines, if you know how to deal with your horse or handle your horse, you don't have a groom. So it was kind of like they, you know, you're not supposed to touch your horse. And it just, you know, that was kind of sad. But then one day, one little girl went ahead of me and got her horse from her groom. And then every little child since then went and got their own horse. So I felt like they just wanted to play with their horses, but they were kind of told they couldn't.
Yeah, they were discouraged. You know? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And one little boy, he had a problem with mounting. And I said, okay, so he was different than all the other kids as far as what he wanted to do. And I said, okay, well, let's go get your saddle. And he didn't even know what saddle was his, because his groom wasn't there to put, he hadn't put a saddle on the horse. He probably didn't even know how to do that, you know? So it was very interesting to see that and recognize that was a cultural, difference, that you're not supposed to do that. And it was really sweet to see them kind of go, I get to go get my horse, you know, and then they all followed suit. So it can be really different in places, you know?
And, you know, it's interesting too. Debbie Laux, Monty Roberts' daughter, is doing a show, Horsemanship Radio, now on the network. And she mm-hmm. talks about some of the, Monty's doing a lot of work now down in South America and Brazil, and talk about a cultural difference. But they're at the point now, I think, where probably where we were 25, 30 years ago, where they're realizing maybe there is a different way, and they're starting to take a look at it. And you know, that's where a culture is starting to change, but it's, you know, 30 years behind another culture that way.
Yes.
And I'm not, you know, so it's very interesting that way. I found it fascinating.
Yeah. I worked with a vet from Argentina, and he was learning a lot about natural horsemanship techniques, which was very progressive for Argentina. And then he, you know, he kind of came along and started listening. And I kind of knew I have a little bit of a tough sell here, you know, because it's a cultural thing. So he might not embrace this, but that's okay. You know, it's everybody in their time. It's my policy. And he really kind of started processing the science side of it. And he totally appealed to him. And he went home with, you know, targets and side buckets, and, you know, at home, and showed pictures of him doing it, which it floored me, because that is not historically, you know, part of their culture. And in fact, it was quite bold of him, I think, to go out and to do that, you know, because you think how using food to work with your horse, even though it's all science, but it's just seems so soft to them or something that mm-hmm. they can't imagine that's such, let's go back to the reinforcement history. They have such a strong reinforcement history with doing it one way that they're slower to give that up, you know? So it's going to be a slow migration till I think I got a couple of decades to them being in South America.
You can use that as your retirement plan, Shauna.
Maybe so. There you go. Think?
So you mentioned that, in some cases that the younger members of your clinics are likely to take things on. Do you think that is universal in that, regardless of the culture, that younger members of the equestrian universe are more likely to break the bonds with what might be more traditional techniques, regardless of their culture?
Yes. I think that they definitely do. I think they have less history with this is what you're supposed to do. They've been less entrenched in that and less peer pressure of that, because they're still kind of kids who just really love their horses and just want to have a good time with their horses. Even if they're competing, there's still that love of horses. So they're very basic there. And when using the positive reinforcement, I always tell people, kids are the best, because you give them a little nugget of what they should be looking for, and they pay so much attention to the horse. They're not going to a textbook in their head, and I'm supposed to, and the horse does this. They just see this is working, this isn't working. The horse is responding, the horse isn't. So they seem to have less muddled learning in their head that messes it up for them. So it's kind of funny, you know. And you feel bad telling some of the adults that six-year-olds are really good at this. But you're doing great. But it is really true. I think that they have a lot less baggage, you know, essentially, that they're bringing with it. They're very pure about it. And I think that because this is based in science, it follows a lot of common sense. So if you just stop and really start watching, you go, hey, this is working. Hey, this is not working. And they're more in touch with that than I think us busy adults get to be.
Well, Shauna, where can people find where you're going to be next, or maybe attend one of your clinics wherever you are?
Well, I am going to Beck Country Horseman's Rendezvous, and that is in Norco, California. And that is coming up on the 21st to the 23rd of this month. So that is the next place I'll be. And that'll be kind of fun because it's going to be a different group. And there's other people, there's entertainers and everything that will be there. So that's going to be fun. Then I'm doing a clinic the following weekend in Auburn, California. So I will be there, be up here for that. And then next month, I'm actually going to be at the Everything Equine Expo in Vermont. So those are kind of some of the things that are coming up more immediately. And so they can always get a hold of me at shaunacarish.com. That's easy. Or even just Google Shauna Horse Trainer and you'll find me.
Very good.
So that's where you could go find more info.
Well, thank you, Shauna. I did notice a trend there. In the next month, she's going to be where it's warm and warm. And then she's heading to Vermont when it starts to warm up a little. So I did notice a little bit of a trend
there. Yeah, I see that.
Thank you, Shauna.
I'm not silly. Thank you. It's so nice chatting with you guys. You guys have a great day.
All right.
Don't miss Road to the Horse International 2014 at the Kentucky Horse Park, March 14th through the 16th, for the World Championship of Colt Starting. Watch Dan Steers from Australia, Antoine Klo from Switzerland, Jonathan Field from Canada, and the first ever Road to the Horse wildcard competitor. They all face off to see who will walk away with the title of World Champion. Watch, learn, and be inspired to reach a higher level of horsemanship at Road to the Horse. Plus, enjoy our largest shopping experience yet. Find out more at roadtothehorse.com.
Well, tickets are still available for Road to the Horse. There's only a few. If you're interested in joining all of us this weekend at the Kentucky Horse Park, you can do that by just going to roadtothehorse.com, and you'll find the link on there for buying tickets. Stop by to roadtothehorse.com. Tickets are still available. We'll look forward to seeing you this weekend. And Tammy will look forward to seeing you also. Now it's time for Alabama Boy by Casey Smith.
Alabama boy, you are so fine. Where have you been all my life? Hey, hey, Alabama boy, Alabama boy, with the blue eyes and the pretty smile, won't you look my way? Hey, 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 Alabama boy. I met a young man in Louisiana, way down in New Orleans, but he said goodbye. From Arkansas, and he treated me so sweet. He tried so hard to win me over, but he couldn't sweep me off my feet. Alabama boy, you are so fine. Where have you been all my life? everybody knows my name. Red time feels like it's standing still and nothing's ever gonna change. You took my breath away when I met you that day. You were laying on the country charm. You shot me a grin and I knew right then you were gonna get my heart. Haven't been my boy, you are so fine. Where have you been all my life? Hey, hey.
And that was Alabama boy Casey Smith, CaseySmith.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Road to the Horse. That's going to be so cool. You get to go to that Glen, even though you're going to freeze to death. It's going to be awesome.
I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it so much. Now it's time to play a little game.
It's time for the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge, where each week a different unsuspecting world-renowned celebrity equestrian is pitted against a humble Horses in the Morning listener willing to risk it all for a prize package or a nod of approval from one of the greats from the equestrian universe. Now, let the battle of equestrian acuity begin.
And now it is time for the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge. And we have somebody that has been joining us on this show for what seems like all 800 episodes. We've had him on many times. He's the creator of the Equisizer and of Jockey World, our good friend and former jockey, Frankie Lovato. Hi, Frankie.
Hi, Glenn. Thanks for having me be a part of this on this beautiful Wednesday morning.
You know, it seems like forever since we've talked to you, and I know it hasn't been forever, but it just seems like it, because if we don't have you on a regular basis, I miss you, Frank.
Well, thanks, Glenn. I miss you, too.
It's man, hashtag man love.
Well, hey, wait a minute. We are pony lovers.
We are pony.
I have to ask about popcorn. Your pony has popcorn.
He's doing wonderful. He's just as furry and muddy as can be.
Is he?
Yeah.
And are you actually driving him or somebody riding him? Or are you doing pony?
No, he's driving me. He's driving me crazy.
No, good answer.
He's not doing anything. He's on vacation.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's been a little chilly up there in Ohio, and you have about 12 feet of snow. That probably has something to do with it.
It's very difficult to even get out of the barn.
At one point this winter, did the snow actually go over his head?
No, but he has the muck pile, which is hilarious. I wish I can get a very good picture of this, but his little muck pile that's by right outside his little shed, everything's little, but he likes to stand on it and be king of the mountain. It looks pretty funny. It's nice when it's nice and white, though, when it's covered with snow rather than manure. But he likes to stand on it and play king of the mountain.
Well, Scooter says hello to Popcorn, okay?
So I'll tell him.
All right. Now that
Scooter's doing well.
Now Scooter's doing very well. Now that two grown men have talked ponies, we should... Jamie's about ready to throw up.
Yeah.
No, I love it.
Tell me who you're playing for today if you win. Who is the lucky charity? And by the way, we're giving away an Equus Now $25 gift certificate. And there's a store that's from Ohio, too. It's all Ohio Day here on Celebrity Trivia Challenge.
Excellent, excellent. Well, my charity for choice today is Stampede of Dreams Therapeutic Riding Program, which is a therapeutic riding program my wife and I had established. We're the founders, and we're a 501c3 nonprofit organization that gives riding lessons in equine assistive activities and therapies with people with disabilities.
And I didn't realize that you guys founded that. I never knew that.
Oh, yeah.
All that
hard work. You didn't know that.
No, I didn't. I knew your wife was involved, but I just thought she worked there, actually.
No,
and
we're
this this would be perfect, though, because Equus Now sells products for the horses, for the rider, for the barn. So you could, if you do win, you could fill in the blanks with anything you guys might need. So it's a great gift certificate for the charity.
Excellent. Well, that sounds wonderful.
And I promise not to cheat here and from one pony lover to another and give Frankie any, you know.
You better not, because one of our dear friends, longtime listener, Uta Shepherd, is on the phone. And hello, Uta. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. Are you a little nervous that you're playing former jockey, Hall of Famer, well, soon to be Hall of Famer, Frankie Lovato?
Big time butterflies.
Oh, yeah.
Uta, you're playing for your own charity, right?
Sure, if I can.
Yeah, the Uta charity. Go with
it's
it,
the
girl.
The Uta charity. That's right. Also from Ohio, I might add. You guys, I'll tell you what, I'm glad we live where we do and not where you do this year.
Yeah.
Uta's been keeping us informed every morning on Facebook of how cold it is there. So.
Cold. And well, now that it's thawing out, now it's the mud starting to.
Oh, yeah.
One or the other.
Ugh, I remember mud season.
No worries, though. We're supposed to get another 6 to 8 on Wednesday.
Well, there you go. That'll just put it on top of the mud.
That's coming this afternoon. My gosh, you guys are crazy. Crazy. Now, Glenn, we've got the prize. We've introduced the cast of characters. Are we ready to get this thing started?
Yes, this is how we play. There's going to be a couple of rounds of questions. Jamie is going to ask them, and you guys will answer. If you get the answers correct, there's the bell. If you get the answers incorrect, I'm afraid to say that my buzzer, my electronic basketball high school buzzer, woo-hoo, has broken.
Yes.
So you're just going to hear, that's the new buzzer. So that's what you'll get today.
All right.
Are you ready?
Ready.
All right, Jamie, ready. Take it away.
Okay, we're going to go back and forth here. I'm going to start with Uta. You get the first question. And then, Frankie, I will go to you and we'll go back and forth. All right, so... this one is multiple choice, Uta. Which of the following symptoms is indicative of a laminitis or founder? Is it A, shifting weight to hind feet and laying down a lot? Is it B, head shaking and diarrhea? Or C, walking in circles, bumping into things?
A.
Yay!
I love any time I can say diarrhea in the morning. That's a good day. Good day. Okay. It is currently 1-0. But, all Frankie, right, this is your chance to tie.
Come on, Frankie.
Oh, all right.
Go ahead, Frank.
Which of the following physical traits may indicate a healthy condition that would make a pony more susceptible to founder? Are you kidding me, Jennifer? It's multiple choice. A, large indentations above the eyes. B, a thick, crusty neck. Or C, extreme sway back.
The crusty neck part. That's
yay!
B, right? B, that is correct. Crusty. All right, these need to get a little more challenging, I swear. All right, here
it
we
is
go.
Now officially 1-1.
Yes, 1-1. Uta, your question. It's not multiple choice. You just have to know it. This type of training gets its name from the small sound-emitting device that is held by the trainer, and it often includes food rewards.
Clicker training.
Yay! She listens to our shows.
Clicker training is the answer. You are correct. It is now 2, and we head over to Frankie. Frankie, you won the Kelso Handicap aboard Pete Moss twice in 1980 and 1981. What longtime Maryland racing family owned the Great Kelso for who the race was named?
Oh, no. Oh, I was going to, if I was to guess, it would have been, this is terrible, but I was thinking of Alfred Vanderbilt, Sagamore.
Oh,
but, I know. Terrible.
Okay, Frankie, give me the other big family that you would have guessed from Delaware.
From Delaware, the DuPonts.
Yes, that's right. They were Maryland and Delaware. That's correct. Yep.
Oh, let's see. That was
that threw you a little bit there. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh boy.
I'm glad you never raced in that race or anything, Frankie.
Yes, but he's a jockey. He doesn't study what he's
that's
running.
Right.
He is
just
sweating,
gets on the horse.
Trying to lose weight. That's what he does. I'm with you, Frankie. You didn't have to know that.
That's right.
All right.
You miss right. those days, Frankie, of sweating to lose weight like that.
Oh, yeah.
Races. Yeah, I kind of thought so.
Every day.
I think of you every time when I watch the movie Seabiscuit, when Red Pollard has this little teeny amount of food, and then he's got a real big heaping plate, and then he's trying to lose weight again. So he goes back to like four little tiny peas, and it gets a little bit sticking. Oh, I feel sorry for you guys. But
yeah.
Good news is I don't have to do that.
Well, you know what, Frankie, though? Gary Stevens made a big comeback at the age of 50. Are you going to be doing the same?
I'll get back to that.
Okay.
I'm not ready to stop eating yet.
Okay.
here's how we can support Gary Stevens. We'll just bet on him.
Yeah.
That's what Frankie and I are going to do. Okay. Uta, it is currently 2-1. If you get this, you win. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. In 1980, Frankie won a national award for Outstanding Apprentice Jockey. Name one of the three entities which sponsor and vote on the Eclipse Awards.
Can you say that last part again?
I'll do the whole thing. In 1980, okay. Frankie won a national award for Outstanding Apprentice Jockey. Name one of the three entities which sponsor and vote on the Eclipse Awards.
It's a hard one.
I have no idea.
Oh,
now, wait a minute. Frankie, do you know?
Yes. The NTRA, the Daily Racing Forum, and there's one of the jockey clubs.
The people that vote for
Nope. Turf Riders.
Well, the National Turf Riders Association.
Yes.
Which I thought was all of them.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, sorry, Uta, you did not get that one correct. That one was hard.
That one was hard.
That was a tough one.
That was a tough one. I don't think I'd have known
that. Terms.
I knew about the Eclipse Awards, but I didn't know who really sponsored them.
Yeah. Sorry, Uta. Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com for your complaints. I forgot to tell everybody that this time. Okay. Oh, my gosh. This is quite crazy. I just referenced this movie moments ago. Frankie, your question. In the movie Seabiscuit, Pimlico Racecourse could not be used for filming because of modern features that the film crew could not work around. So, what historic track was used for the Pimlico scenes?
Keeneland Racecourse.
It's tied up again.
Jeez. That is correct. Keeneland Racecourse was the answer because going to Keeneland is like stepping into 1925. God bless.
Yes.
In a good way.
In a good way.
Yes,
in a good way.
We had
exactly. Okay. All right. The tiebreaker.
Dun, dun, dun.
Explain how this works.
I'm going to explain how it works. I'm going to give you a series of hints. Okay. When you know the answer to the series of hint, just holler it out. I'll know who said it because your voices are considerably different. Okay? Glenn, notice that Jennifer did not write the answer in
again?
Here. However, you should know this.
All right, wait, let me read the question first here.
Read it because you need to have the buzzer ready. Do you know this one? Please tell me you know this one.
Jennifer, can you write the answer in our show notes? So I can,
just are you kidding me? Just chat it to him. I'm embarrassed.
Just chat.
I'm embarrassed.
I don't know the answer.
All right. I'm going to start with asking the questions. Here we go. I'll know the answer.
Oh, I know the answer.
This.
I know it now.
You win nothing. Here we go.
Off. All right. I'm ready.
This is called Name the Movie Star. Born Marion Robert Morrison on May 26th, 1907.
Yay! How'd you know that?
I'm a huge John Wayne fan.
That's my girl.
Oh, congratulations, Uta.
Oh, no, thank you.
I had to read to the fourth question Jennifer wrote down here to get it. And it was Rode a Horse Named Dollar in the films True Grit and Rooster Cogburn. Then I got it. But until then, I didn't get it.
I'm gonna give them all out. Okay. Rode his pony named Jenny to school in Lancaster, California. In the 1930s, he made several movies with a white horse nicknamed Duke and rode a horse named Dollar in the films True Grit and Rooster Cogburn. Congratulations,
Zuta. Good job.
If it's okay with you, I would really like to let the gift certificate go to Stampede of Dreams. I think it's a wonderful program, and I think they should have it.
Well, thank you, Uta. That's very kind.
That is very sweet. That's
now
very
she's going kind. For Good Samaritan of the Year Award.
Yeah, she's
going
to win the Good Samaritan Award now.
Yeah.
Thank you, Uta. That's very kind of you, and I'm sure they'll be able to... I'm sure they need stuff over there. So at Stampede of Dreams.
We're a volunteer-based program and donations and so things like that. I mean, help us care for the horses, and so really, really appreciate that.
You're very sweet, Uta. Thank you. And thank you, Uta, for listening and being one of our biggest fans. We appreciate it.
Oh, I love your show. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, thanks again to Frankie and Uta for joining us on the Celebrity Trivia Challenge, and thanks to Equity for their support. We'll be back tomorrow with a recorded show, and then Friday, hopefully, we'll be coming to you live from Road to the Horse, providing we get all the technology figured out. So that's
good luck.
That's what we're depending on here. You can find the links to today's guests in the show notes at horsesinthemorning.com. You can also follow us on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning. Get our free app. It's the easiest way to listen to our show, the recorded version. You can go to iPhone or Android app stores and search for Horse Radio Network. And that's about it for today. Be safe, everyone. We'll talk to you Friday.
Yep, and Glenn, pack your coat. My God, you need some gloves and a hat or something like that. Bless your little heart. You're going to freeze to death. And thanks to Uta for giving away your gift certificate. That was very, very sweet. Everybody have a great day. Spay, neuter, geld.